I'm off to the temple, so I'm driving through Albuquerque, and we'll see how that goes. It's warm, but it's overcast. That might be a good thing, and we'll just have to see. Okay, we talked about before. I don't remember. Anyway, it brought to mind, cultural rules that seem to overlie everything else. You know, if you don't keep up a good house, well, there's just no point. You know, you might as well not join the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints because it's not, you know, you're not going to make it. Tidiness. It's a law that I don't really remember from the first 10. Well, I tell you, it is among the most important ones today. Now, I'm not so much tidy as I am minimalist. I don't tend to collect a lot of junk. You know, there's a ton of people. Who hoard or just don't have a very, I don't know if they just lack the ability to get rid of stuff. I'm not that way, but I don't tend to really get disgusted by people who are that way. But I always found that interesting. I had this, my first area on my mission was a place called Granger in West Valley City in Utah. Part of our area is this place called Redwood. And there was one ward in Redwood, which is odd for Utah because usually a ward in the Salt Lake Valley is probably about 2, maybe 3 square blocks at best, sometimes smaller. I remember going and visiting the I think they reduced it to a branch because they had a branch president. Apparently, for many years, they had had what out in sparser areas of the world, where there weren't very many Latter-day Saints at all. Missionaries, you know, the young guys, 19, 20-year-olds from Utah, would actually serve as the branch president or the elders' quorum president. But if that's been really discouraged lately, and if there's a real problem with having anybody who can really do the branch president job, they would call somebody from another unit and have them serve there. That happened recently, just the next unit over from us at Tucumcari in Fort Sumner. Called one of the high counselors for the state who lived in Clovis. Called him as the branch president out in Fort Sumner. Really dynamic fella. So I've known for a very long time. Anyway, this little Redwood Ward branch-ish, I guess they had finally decided that they weren't going to call somebody from another ward, another unit. They couldn't get anybody to do it because it was so Redwood was a backwoods right in the middle of Salt Lake City. It was lots of trees. It was almost like you went to the Ozarks. You know, a lot of people with broken, missing teeth. Stuff like that. Starting to rain. That's nice. Anyway. And I think it was there that I heard the story of somebody, of a family. I don't think it was a local family at all. But, you know, old-time hick family. Mostly just kind of sat around all the time. Somehow this family had won two lotteries. So they actually had a lot of money. You went where I was going to go. Ah, okay. You still can. Anyway. It's raining. It's a pretty good rain, not a little pathetic one. Actually, a good one. High quality. Anyway. But they still kind of live. Plunking on the banjo. Stuff like that. And they and this guy who was telling me the story said this was the happiest people he'd ever wanted me. Come over to their place. They'd share everything they had with you. Well, except the money. And I've been to a lot of interesting places. I worked for a while associated with Port Lomé in Togo, which is on the west coast of Africa. Well, it's right near Nigeria. For all the Americans that don't know any geography anyway. And there was a shanty town. Mostly maybe a little bit better than cardboard boxes. We were right next to the jungle, so you could get I don't know what kind of fronds that they use to kind of put roofs on their things and a little bamboo structure. Some of them had walls, some of them didn't. Tended to have walls because you'd have a family in there. And usually, maybe a little bit multi-generational. Maybe grandma lived there with you too. And most of the guys didn't wear many clothes. Of course, this is the tropics. Let's be honest. And they would mostly go out and fish. And they had these tricked out boats. They had flags on them. They were colorful, painted up. And they'd go out and the men would go fishing. And there was actually a big fish market right next to the shanty town, which is where you would go and you'd sell your fish. And I think a lot of the women actually ended up working at the market more than any place else. And but usually when I would see them, because we would go, we would work on the boat. We were mostly in dock there trying to get kind of situated for our new survey. Funny part was we couldn't get clear information about what the survey needed from us. So we actually spent quite a bit of time just kind of cleaning things up, just doing some of the maintenance that when you're working and you're in production, you don't have a lot of time to do. Anyway, but in the evenings, a reasonable number of people, I normally didn't go. I would sometimes. I didn't drink, and that was really all there was a bar to go drinking. And so it wasn't really interesting to me. But I would go every once in a while to sit with the guys. I wouldn't get involved with the conversation much. I would look around at the other people around. We usually had a van that would pick us up off of the dock, and we had a little bit of security, you know, guys with military rifles who would be our security as we went to this one kind of expatriate bar. Anyway, so I would look at these guys in the shantytowns. Some of them were nice. They were made out of cinder blocks. The actual walls, they were all open on, I'm not really sure if it was toward the south. I get the impression it was toward the south. Wherever the prevailing winds were still coming from. We didn't cross the equator, therefore we were still in the northern hemisphere, although just barely. And the prevailing winds still came out predominantly from the southwest, probably. Or no, came predominantly out of the... Well, that would be true. I don't remember. Anyway, it seemed like things were kind of oriented so breezes would actually blow into your place. You didn't have a front door. You know, people would just walk by, and if they wanted to, they could kind of look in and say hi or whatever. And these were just a happy, congenial bunch, I tell you, man. And most of the women were really dressed kind of nice. Now, the young girls weren't particularly, but the older girls often looked like they were off going to church or something. You know, And the kind of clothes that you would kind of expect to see. Really colorful. Usually had kind of a head wrap. Loud talking and, oh my goodness, but laughing like mad, like there was no tomorrow. And I was just amazed by how happy these people would be. You know, women from the first world probably typically would probably be pretty dejected and unhappy. Maybe beating on their husbands, trying to get them work harder so they could have a better life. I don't know. I'm not saying they all do that, but I'm saying it's a tendency. And I've often wondered who is most likely to make it to Exaltation. And I don't want to discount very wealthy people. When we were in Oklahoma City and we had bought a house, the first bishop that we had, they actually changed bishops not too long after we had moved there. The first bishop was a lawyer, apparently a very successful lawyer. He would have a lot of youth activities. Of course, we had youth, and all of our son's friends had youth too. My daughter actually left on her mission second daughter left on her mission from Oklahoma City. We had already moved from there when she came back. But anyway, he was just the nicest fella. And he was pretty generous. He ended up buying all of the young Aaronic priesthood holders, all the young men. He bought them suit coats because he wanted them all to wear suit coats when they passed the sacrament. So they all did. I came from a world where just having a white shirt and a tie was okay, but he wanted them all to do that, and he went and bought them all those things. And I think he went to a thrift store. It's okay, you know, but he still did it. I don't think he used the budget to do it. I think he did it of his own volition. Anyway, so, I should stop here at this place to get things, but today I'm not going to. Running just a little late. I think I'll be perfectly fine, perfectly happy, but I still got squeakies. But I would imagine this is just. The new brake shoes kind of coming together. Not concerned they're brand new, so they're okay. Anyway, so I didn't ever mind that. He was an awfully good guy. Now, he would be gone sometimes for a couple of weeks. Apparently, he had a really nice place up in the mountains in Colorado that he would go to sometimes. I don't know if it was to get away from work or if it was to just get away from things sometimes. Sometimes his family went with him. It was just he and his wife at that point. Although maybe they still had a son that was young. He didn't seem very old. He might have been in his late 40s, early 50s, stuff like that. Anyway. And you know, you're going, wow, you know, do you think he'll go to the Celestial Kingdom? I said, oh, there's no reason why not think. An exaltation? Yeah, probably so. But it's just as likely that somebody who's really just kind of, people are always accusing Lisa and I of this, being salt of the earth. And I think that's hilarious because I don't think we really were. Well, no, I think we were. I think Lisa got a taste of better living, and she's really enjoying, or she really has enjoyed it. I've always been terrible, and when push came to shove, we always still lived in kind of interesting, toward bad neighborhoods, and didn't buy houses that our credit rating would have said that we should have bought. You know, when everybody buys a house, they tend to buy a house that, you know, they say, oh, they can, they're prepared to loan us up to $350,000. And so you go hunting houses that are worth somewhere right around that, right? A little bit lower maybe. But we didn't. I think we qualified for a lot better houses, and we didn't buy them. We ended up buying houses more expensive than I wanted to buy, but, you know, that was just the market. That's just how much you have to pay. anyway, now I live in a very small house. Don't really know how much it's really worth. I've seen people with, I would consider to be, not as good a house that they were trying to sell for, I don't know, $60,000-$70,000. We were hoping to dump ours for $20,000, and we just decided to stay in ourselves because it's paid for. Sadly, Lisa really used to like Tucum Carrying. I think she's really doesn't really like it much anymore. And so I don't know if she feels kind of trapped because we have decided that the whole thing of having the house paid for really kind of is a marvelous thing. Lisa wants to save as much money as possible, and that's great. I agree with her. So, anyway. Had an interesting time, gotta tell you that. Well, I'm here at my destination, so I better get in there and figure out what I'm gonna do. Talk to you later. Bye.